Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner. Rick,
you've got
antlers on up the top there. The producer gave me some antlers to wear today, so here I am.
You're looking very good, and I see the coffee's in a Christmas mug with joy.
Absolutely beautiful.
Joy to the world.
Beautiful, and I Christmas cookies and everything here today, so it's been beautiful.
It's great to have the producer back.
It was good to get here this week, Rick, after last week's little hiccup.
Well, there was a slight hiccup, but we won't bore the listeners with that sort of commentary. Now, but hang on.
Rick.
Hang on, Phil. I'm sorry.
What?
We're doing a program, Sports Central, correct?
Yes.
Right. Can you please take that black armband off?
Oh, I want to wear it.
Now, Phil, no. Phil, now let's be reasonable about this.
Yes.
You bent to my request to take your shoes off because they had writing over them. And now you've got your black armband.
I know where we're heading here.
You've got your black armband. I'm sorry. Sport and politics don't mix. And I know that your feelings are possibly even valid, Phil, but I'd like you to take the black armband off.
All right. Here it is. I'll take it.
Okay. All right, now we'll get on with the show.
Well, that was in relationship to Uzi. Everybody doesn't know what we're dribbling on.
And we might now. We'd better just make brief comments.
Yeah, just quickly comment on it.
I've got at least. I don't know the man personally. Uzi comes across to me as a very genuine, warm, caring person, and I believe that within our society, and that's one of the reasons that a lot of these people come to this country because it's free and open. But you do have to make your comments felt and made at appropriate times. And to use sport as a vehicle for that, I'm not in favour of it. It's like a mobile billboard. And I just don't, because it's a bit like lots of things. Open the door and you can't stop it.
Yeah, big can of worms, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rick, you haven't asked me. I'm feeling off colour.
Yeah, I was wondering if you
Yeah, I'm suffering from a hereditary disease.
A hereditary? Oh, my God. Are you okay?
Yeah, diarrhea.
Phil, diarrhea isn't a hereditary disease.
It's in my genes.
Folks, you know why we've done the joke early?
Because I would have forgotten it by the end of the show.
We rehearsed it and he couldn't get it right, so he's put it in at the start.
And that's a true story.
Yeah. Okay.
Quickly, we'll go into the lawn bowls. Metro Bowls was this played Wednesday. Wednesday week ago that was now. Played Clarence Gardens. We beat them by 16 shots. And we didn't play this last Wednesday. We're a week behind because I didn't get here last week. We lost to Tranmere by 17 shots. Ooh. So all ranks down, which was a bit of
a blow,
but we're sitting equal fourth coming into Christmas, which is good. I think we're seventh, but we're all even. But we're all even on wins and losses. That's all. Just down on percentage.
But percentage does count.
It does count, but we're still equal fourth.
Are you sure those reindeers aren't pressing on you?
So this last week in I won't go back to the week before in Barossa Bowls. Last week in before Christmas, Lindock defeated Tanunda 93-76. Harry Sykes's rank was up by 15 shots over Peter Bavistock.
Oh.
The rank consisted, Rick. Ask me who? Aaron Ayres, the great man.
He's back.
Throwing the golf clubs to the, you know where.
Yes.
He's back in the rink of the week for Lindock.
Obviously, the little travel exercise did him good.
Yeah,
he's in good
form. I don't know whether he got away in the end.
Didn't he? Well, he told me he was going.
Well, Jason Power is number two. And, of course, our valued listener that we do have, Ash Thomas, was playing three to Harry Sykes. So, that's a good win by them. Yadunda played Angaston, which we would think Angaston are going to win, which they did, 72-102. So quite a good win there. John O'Voight's rank up 19 over Aaron Jones's rank, which is a good win for John O. He's a state player, though. So big win there. Mount Pleasant played Freeling in a tight tussle. Second to bottom and third to bottom, that's right. Mount Pleasant 81, Freeling 96. Rod Seen 15 up over John Webb was the biggest winning. And the last game for that round before Christmas, Newry 69, Kapunda 88. Ooh. And we had Cat Green, 17 up over Gary Chapman's rink. And ask me, Rick, who is in Cat Green's rink?
Now, Phil, Cat Green, who's in his?
In her.
In her rink.
Yeah, Katrina Green.
Yeah.
Peter Luckett.
Oh,
the great man.
The great man himself.
Peter Luckett playing at three. They won by 17 shots. So I suppose he got a bit of a Chrissy bonus. He probably would have, I suppose. I don't know.
He wouldn't play without it, I should.
Only tongue in cheek there, Pete.
Yeah, Pete. It's all good fun.
So the player ladder really hasn't changed. The winners and the guys that are undefeated, Wayne Newell, Justin Morris, Ian Ellsworthy, and Jim Bridson, all undefeated going into Christmas, which is a good effort for them, all from Angaston, which leaves us the ladder quickly. Rick, I'll run through. Angaston undefeated. Lindock, Newry, Kapunda is the top four. They're all on 5 wins, though, Rick, and Yadunda are all on 5 wins. They're very close.
Oh, very close.
Very close. Four sides equal second.
Gee whiz, you can't afford to drop the chew too often if
and
that goes on for the second half.
No, that's exactly right. Freeling, Mount Pleasant, and Tanunda sitting bottom. So I've mentioned that we lost the midweek. I've got some, that's enough on the bowls, Rick. That's the local bowls. I quickly covered through that. We've done 6 minutes already, so that's enough. Local footy news, quickly, while we're on local sport.
Yes.
Campbell Wildman, Sturt stroke Port player.
Yes.
Tanunda.
Oh, is there anyone, why can't they win a premiership? They've got the Sturt League side.
While we're on it, Jake Sutcliffe, stroke
Sturt.
Played in the amateur league, kicked 100 goals for somebody in the amateur league, apparently in the last year or so. So it sounds like full forward. Don't know much about him. I did look up one. I thought it told me he didn't even play a league game. But, I mean, you can still be a reserves player and be a very good footballer in the country league. So that's their two new imports, which
I
finally found out.
Is there any truth to the matter? Because if anyone will know, it's you. Is there any truth to the matter that Tanunda have changed the stripes on their Guernseys to dark blue and light blue?
They've got a little bit of blue in the black and white now. They're like Port Power.
Oh, right. A little bit of teal.
Well, something, some sort of a blue.
Heavens,
so that's their two players. So they're, and I see the turf's just about down at Tanunda Oval.
Oh,
virtually laid,
that's good.
Virtually laid,
wonderful.
Huge big oval down there now.
Oh.
I'm glad my footy's career's over. Too big for me.
Well, it will only be the size of Newry.
Is Newry AFL standard?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
They have saved a lot of money just playing the games at Newry. Don't start me.
I tell you, it's changed the outlook at Tanunda Oval. I can tell you that. I've seen some photos, and I have been past there once.
So any concept of a beautiful country ground's gone out the window?
A lot of trees gone, Rick. It's sort of lost that country feel. Anyway, we'll move on. Rick, while we're on the footy, I just want to bring up Connor Rosie, 8 years captain, Butters vice-captain. What are you thinking?
What I'm thinking is that a bit like with a number of other named footballers, the contractual piece of paper it's written on is not worth a penny. That they'll break it at any time they like. They'll sell off, contracted players. You've only got to look at the great Sturt Ruckman from Collingwood. He was on a 10-year deal at Melbourne, wasn't he? He lasted a year and a half. I mean, in theory, that's what it is. And about the only one where it stood the test of time, it seems to me, was Lance Franklin.
Yeah.
But, wheeling and dealing, it's there, but I wouldn't.
Are you happy with the appointment, though? Do you think?
Well,
23, he's probably. Mature lad for 23, isn't he?
Well, he's mature, only time will tell. I guess there are other sports and other people who've been put in very leadership positions at early ages. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Ollie didn't work. Hmm.
And it's all to do with personality. Now, I mean, I don't know either of them. Rosie comes across to me with a totally different and sort of friendlier, outgoing personality than Ollie. And maybe Ollie took the position too seriously. I'm not sure you can do that, but... I'm not anti it.
No, I'm the same. And Butters and him are like brothers, so I think that'll work quite nicely.
Now all they got to do is get rid of the coach.
Not a Kenny fan, are you?
Between the two of them, they'd be in with a chance. Wouldn't they?
Get rid of it, you reckon? Anyway, but this year's the year. It's
good to see Treaders standing for...
Yeah, him and Abernathy. Yes, so they're going against each other, so... Interesting to see who gets in.
It will be interesting because, as we all know, our good listeners as well, and I'm not sure what the split is as far as the membership goes, but there is a healthy percentage of Port Adelaide members who are anti-Ken Hinckley as well. And so they may vote as a block for Treadray, but whether they got the numbers, it's a numbers game. But time will tell.
$2 million profit Port this year.
Oh,
it's not bad.
I'm not quite Done sure quite how, well. But yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, let's move on. What about Test match cricket, Rick?
Test match cricket. Well, I guess in one sense you can say, well done the Aussies to win it, you know, with a day to go.
Yep.
What I'd say as a former cricketer is... I would suggest it was one of the most predictable results you could imagine. I would come out now on this show at this time and say this is going to be one of the poorest, as far as interest goes, test series we've had in this country for a long time. I reckon we'll beat the Pakistanis 3-0, and you and I and half a dozen others, we could probably play a couple short.
Mm-hmm.
We could beat the West Indies. So
really?
We could beat the West Indies.
That's a big call from me.
Honestly.
Me playing.
No.
I made a good one on the Faith Oval one,
right.
Though.
But anyway, very ordinary. Now, and we won't go into this because we've covered it before. This was the perfect opportunity to blood a new opening batsman in preparation for Warner's retirement. And that's all I'll say. And if they don't pick a genuine opener... If they move, whoever they're trying to say, I mean, it may well be Press Talk, Labuschagne, Marsh,
Green.
They're all talk. Now, that's got to be Press Talk. You know, it's all very well. I mean, again, even with your form or lack thereof, you could probably open the batting against the West Indies and make runs.
Wow.
But we've got, I mean, you've got to remember also that Uzi's only got another year left.
They're all creeping up. Smith.
We could spend four shows talking about the total lack of a generation of young cricketers in Australia to replace those, because that's going to be a... You know, and then you could go on and talk about, well, so, you know, the press talks about our magnificent opening bowling attack. Well, they're all over the age of 30-odd as well. So, you know, and you say, well, who's going to take their place? There is a generational problem. Anyway, that's enough of that. I think the most interesting thing to come out of the test match is the most predictable thing other than result was the shocking, and that's the only word to describe it, crowds. Oh, the crowds in Perth.
I thought it was a Sheffield Shield game.
Yeah, well, I think they probably would have got as many.
Wow.
The crowds in Perth have traditionally been shocking. This was built, the West Test, they tried to get people to go, it failed. And the competitor for that first test is Queensland or the Gabba. People go to the Gabba. As far as I'm concerned, I don't care whether they've got Optus Stadium over in Perth, beautiful stadium, nobody in it. Perth lose their test match.
Mm.
Adelaide, we get people going to a test match. Mm. Even down in Tasmania, you'd get as many as you did in Perth. So they've got to go.
Yeah, the Scorchers pack it out. I watched the game in WA the other night. You know, here we are, 2020.
Yeah.
50,000 at the Scorchers. Yeah. They won't go over them.
For a reason that I don't understand, they won't support test cricket. I mean, dear me. Just as well you can bat because you don't know anything about cricket.
Love me one day. This is 2020s.
So do I. Now, while we're still on cricket, here is an interesting piece of trivia that a number of our listeners, I might confess to them that when I asked you about what I'm about to mention, you had no idea, suggesting that anything that happened before he was born...
was born.
Do you know that 63 years ago this week, around about 6 p.m., the iconic, which is what it is, the most iconic cricket photograph in the world of Joey Solomon running out the Australian tail end batsman to create a test match draw at the Gabba occurred this week, 63 years ago.
Unreal, right?
It is. And I showed them, good listeners, even my book.
No, I've never seen the photo before.
Never seen
never heard about the test match.
I tried the newspaper photograph and he didn't know that. So I thought, well, I've got a beautiful book called With the West Indies and Australia 1960-61, which is in my hand as I speak, written by the great Johnny Moyes. And there's a beautiful photograph. And for those of you who remember incredible throw, run out, etc., just travelled straight through the keeper as far as Phil went. But apart from being iconic, the amazing thing is, unlike today's photographers with their digital cameras, where they just press the trigger and it takes 650 frames, without them having to blink, and then you just say, gee, I got a great shot. In those days, the cameraman who took that photograph had one frame left at the start of the last over, and for reasons that he doesn't even understand, didn't shoot anything until the very last ball.
Unbelievable.
And it's the photograph. It is, isn't it?
No, I hadn't heard of it. Quickly, Rick, while we're on the cricket, 4.4 or 4.5 million for an 8-week block of cricket. That's not bad money, is it? Works out to over 13,000 a ball. Mitchell Stark, we're talking. 316,000 for a game. That's good money.
It is. And I had the pleasure, which we might spend part of a show in the new year talking about. I had the pleasure of sharing an hour or so with Daryl Parker yesterday. Harper, the Australian Test umpire, record holder. And one of the topics that came up was money. And, you know, the sad thing is that there is no answer. You don't beat the concept of money. And what we did discuss was that this is a tsunami compared with an avalanche. Mm. But in a sense, this is the new Packer. You know, dare I mention, back in my day, we got paid peanuts, and Packer bringing in pajama game, etc., was a shoo-in to succeed because no one had got money at all. Now, this is a shoo-in to succeed because the money is so ridiculous, like LIV Golf. You know, whether you like the principle or not, you know, you want something in the bottom of your pocket when you put your hand in there, don't you? And money speaks all languages. Very sad, but true.
I seen on the Facebook the other day, Stark bought a house in some, I think it was Sydney or somewhere, wherever they live. It's $24 million he spent on a house. He said, I'll be going back next year. Definitely going back next year. Well, he probably has to now.
Well, I mean, I know his figures compared with Travie's are chalk and cheese.
Yeah, 1.2 Travie got.
But I mean, Travie, even before that, you know, he bought himself a house in the most salubrious suburb in Adelaide, Springfield.
Yep.
And it is, I mean, it's a very smart move because really, we're not going to go into the financial side of life, but it seems to me that you'd very rarely make an error in investing in real estate. And so that's good, but I mean, it's out of all proportion. However, having all said what we've just said, all of those figures still are nothing compared with what the world's soccer players are making.
No, that's right. It's still peanuts, isn't it? They're getting that again.
And what about the Japanese baseballer the other day? Is on $1 billion. Oh,
it's unreal. Money is killing sport, as we've said plenty of times.
So with that, let's wish every one of our multitude of listeners a very, very Merry Christmas. And a happy and prosperous new year. And we look forward to talking to you again in the new year.
If we get back again. We're invited back.
Until then, have a good one. Cheers.
Cheers.